Imagine your friend Margaret bakes you a cake. And she gives it to some scientists. And scientists do what scientists do. They poke it, they prod it, they pull it apart. They put it in their particle colliders and look at it under microscopes. And they come up with 1,001 facts about the cake. They can tell you its nutrition qualities, its physical properties, its chemical properties. They can write big, long PhD thesis on what the cake is made of and how it was made. But what the scientists can't tell you is why it was made. For that, you would have to ask Margaret. Science is a useful, worthwhile thing. It can tell us all sorts of things about the way the world works, about how we as humans work, what we're made of, how we're put together. Science is what gives us paracetamol and iPhones and heart surgery. But science can't tell us why we were made. For that, we need to ask our Maker. And that's what this first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, shows us. It shows us, among other things, why we were made. And it shows us that we were made to make a difference. A key reason we were made, not the only one, but a key reason, is we were made to make a difference. Now, when we hear the phrase, make a difference, we tend to think big scale. Save the rainforest, stop global warming, feed Africa, eradicate poverty. And that all sounds very distant and disconnected from our everyday lives. And really, who are we? We're just a tiny speck in a very big world. Do we really make a difference? Well, that's what the man walking along the beach was feeling. There had been a storm the night before. And up on the beach had washed up thousands of starfish, as far as the eye could see. And as the man walked along, he noticed a little boy who was stooping down, picking up a starfish, throwing it in the sea. Stooping down, picking up a starfish, and throwing it in the sea. And the man said to the boy, "What are you doing?" And the boy said, "I'm saving the starfish. The sun's coming out. It's going to dry them all up. They're going to die. I'm saving them, putting them back in the ocean." And the man says, "Can you see how many starfish there are here? How could you possibly make a difference?" And the boy picks up a starfish, looks at it, and says, "It makes a difference to this one." And he throws it into the sea. You know, you make a difference to the world because you make a difference to the world of those around you. And you've experienced that, where just one person, by what they say or what they do, can have such a significant impact on your life. You make a difference to those in your family when the words you choose to use either build them up or grind them down. You make a difference to your neighbours when you choose to avoid them because, you know, actually it's going to be a long conversation or it's going to be difficult. Or you choose to sacrificially give up your time to help them. You make a difference when you, with a friend, when you put down your preferences and let them have their preferences. You make a difference to the world because you make a difference to the world of those around you. And actually, the reason for that is because that is how God designed us. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Describing God creating humanity, it says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." An image is something that looks like something else. So if you carry around coins or notes, you are carrying around the image of the queen. It looks like the queen. As humans, we are made in God's image. We are made to look like him and to act like him. Which means if we want to understand how we were made, we need to understand what God is like. And so let's see what this chapter has been telling us all the way along about what God is like. So it opens up and it says, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on to describe a process. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void. So the earth begins without form, unstructured, chaotic, and void, empty, still. And then over the course of this chapter, we see how God turns the chaos into order and beauty, and how God turns the emptiness and fills it with life and love. So look, day one, in verse 3, God says, let there be light, and there's light. He takes the black night and orders it into night and day, separating the night from the day. Day 2, verse 6, God creates a firmament in the midst of the waters. He divides the waters above from the waters below, and he calls the firmament heaven or sky. So on day 2, God creates the sky and the sea. He creates order. What was chaos is structured into sky and sea. And then on day 3, on verse 11, God said, verse 9, let the waters appear under the heavens, be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So God creates spaces. He creates the sea and the land. Days 1, 2, and 3, we see God taking the chaos and creating order and structure and beauty. And then days 4, 5, and 6, we see God filling those spaces that he's just made with life and love. So on day 4, God says, verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. And verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He also made the stars. So God's made day and night, and now he fills them. He fills the day with the sun, and the night with the moon and the stars. And then on day 5, God fills the sky and the sea that he's made. So verse 20, God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So he fills the sea with goldfish and sharks and jellyfish. He fills the sky with sparrows and parrots and magpies. And then on day 6, he continues filling the emptiness with life. He's created the land and now he fills the land. Verse 24, day 6. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind. He creates animals, zebras and antelopes and lions. And all the way along we see that God is a powerful king. He simply speaks a word and it happens. Can you imagine being a powerful king with that much power? Bring me some peeled grapes, and immediately your servants are running around and they bring them over. I declare that tomorrow will be a bank holiday, and it happens. In this passage, God is presented as a powerful king. He simply speaks and it happens. Verse 3, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, let there be a firmament, and it was so. God speaks and it was so. God speaks and it was so. God is a powerful king. When he says something, it happens. And God is presented as a powerful king, a king who loves beauty and order, who loves life and love, and he brings his kingdom from heaven to earth. He fills the earth with love and life. He structures the earth, bringing form and beauty. God is a powerful king who brings his kingdom from heaven to earth. And all the way along, we hear this phrase, it was good, it was good, it was good. But then on day 6, it's described as very good. Verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. What makes it very good? Well, on day 6, he does something unique, something special. He creates humanity in his image. Let's read verse 26 again. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every living thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and God said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God creates humanity in his image. God has created you in his image to be like him, to act like him. And in this chapter, we've seen, well, he's the king who's in charge. So he's made us to be a bit like him, to be in charge of this world, to work for the king. We see him bringing his kingdom from heaven to earth, and we are made to join in with that process, to bring God's kingdom from heaven to earth. In the same way that God takes the chaos and structures it into form and beauty and order, we are to do the same. In the same way God fills the emptiness with life and love, we are to do the same. So this might literally be taking the chaos of a building site with bricks and cement and mud and forming it and structuring it into a house. It might be forming the mess, a tangle of wires and metal, and forming it into an electronical device. This means that when we're at home, and you know sometimes your rooms get a bit messy, and you think, oh, I better tidy it. When you tidy your room, you are actually fulfilling part of your God-given purpose, because God created us to bring order and beauty to this world. Doesn't that change the way you look at the hoovering? If you make a card for someone and you write a message, you take the words of the English language and you order them into meaningful phrases to bless someone else, you are fulfilling part of your God-given purpose, bringing order and beauty to the world. Or filling the world with life. It might be quite literally you are a nurse or a doctor and you are part of the process of giving people their health back, giving people their life back. Or maybe it's just as a parent or a grandparent, giving your family the time, giving them a hug, giving them the attention. Or maybe it's filling the world with love as you give others time that they need, saying, "Can I help you out?" As we do those things, we are fulfilling our God-given purpose, bringing God's kingdom from heaven to earth, forming chaos to order and beauty, and filling emptiness with life and love. And you know, this truth has completely transformed the way that I approach my work. You know, so as I mentioned, I'm a primary school teacher, and I used to drive in the morning, and some mornings wouldn't feel very motivated. Oh, another day of teaching children how to use adverbials and sentences and add. And I know they're useful, but sometimes children can be quite hard work. But going in with this truth has changed how I see that. I realize that I am going in with a God-given ability and a God-given calling to make a difference in that classroom, to take the chaos of how children normally are and impose some order, to be to bring God's kingdom from heaven into that classroom. This truth will change the way that you live your everyday life. Now, every single passage of the Bible points to Jesus. And this passage does exactly the same. You see, God created mankind in his image. But what do we learn when we get to the New Testament? In Colossians chapter 1, it says that he, Jesus Christ, is the image of God. For us, we're made in God's image, but Jesus Christ is the image of God. He doesn't just look like God, he is God. He doesn't just work for the king, he is the king. And he perfectly brings God's kingdom from heaven to earth. In Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus' first recorded words are, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus Christ is the one who brings God's kingdom from heaven to earth. He is a perfect example of what we were made to be. So what that means is the more we know about Jesus, the more we understand the kind of people that we were made to be. Jesus perfectly formed chaos into order and beauty. And story after story of Jesus' work in this world shows that. He met Legion, whose life was utter chaos. He was living in graveyards, his clothes were falling apart, he had dark forces controlling him, he couldn't be chained down. But he met Jesus, and Jesus had an impact on him that meant he was then clothed and in his right mind. Jesus turned chaos to order in his life. Or Martha, who was running around desperately trying to serve, anxious, frustrated, trying to do the right thing, but it plagued with anxiety. And Jesus lovingly reassures and says, "Martha, Martha." Jesus takes the chaos of our lives, of our addictions, of our anxieties, and brings order. Jesus brought truth. Jesus built people up. And Jesus fills empty lives with life and love. Countless blind people he made to see again. They could see the faces of their families. Countless deaf people who couldn't hear, Jesus met and they could hear again and hear the voices of their loved ones, the birds singing. Or Lazarus. Jesus literally filled Lazarus's life back up with life. He was dead. Jesus turns up, says, "Lazarus, come out." And out of a grave comes Lazarus. Wherever Jesus goes, he fills emptiness with life. And he fills emptiness with love. The woman at the well, going from relationship to relationship, desperately looking for something that satisfies. And Jesus said to her, "I am the living water. I can truly satisfy you in a way that no one else can." That empty life filled up with new hope. Or Zacchaeus, hated by his community because of his way of life, his greed, driving everyone away from him. Jesus meets him, transforms him, and he's giving away his possessions and his money. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that after that, Zacchaeus had friends. Because when you meet Jesus, he changes you. He makes a difference. Jesus perfectly turns chaos to order and beauty and fills emptiness with life and love. So if you want to know how God designed you, if you want to understand the difference that God has designed and called you to make, then get to know Jesus. Because the more you know Jesus, the more you'll understand that. So keep reading the Bible. Keep joining with church. Keep asking others what God is doing in their lives. Maybe there's people here that you don't know their story of how they came to follow Jesus. Ask them. Maybe there's people here and you don't know what Jesus has been doing in their lives over the last few months. Ask them. Because as we share those stories, we get to know Jesus. And as we get to know Jesus, we get to know the reason that we were made. The difference that we were made to make. Now, of course, this is the very first chapter of the Bible, and we know that after this, things go wrong, and that humanity rejects God. And although we were made in God's image, we are now broken images of God. And we have an instinct to make a difference, but often an instinct to make the wrong kind of difference. Our sinful natures. And we don't bring God's kingdom from heaven to earth. Often we make earth look less like heaven. So rather than forming order, our anxieties and our addictions control us rather than us controlling them. Or rather than speaking beautiful words that heal and help people, we speak words that are lies or knock people down. Instead of filling the world up with life, we hurt others or hurt ourselves. And instead of filling it in love, we fill it with hate and violence. And we see that on a large global scale, and we recognize that in our own individual lives as well. We are broken images of God. Now, Emma Raducanu, US Open Championship. I know she lost a couple of weeks ago, but she's 18. I feel like she's got a future ahead of us. And let's be honest, she is far better at tennis than we will ever be. But if we wanted to try to be like Emma, we could try to copy her, but we're not going to get very far. We can't just copy her, we need to get her skills and her abilities. Or, you know, Usain Bolt, fastest man in the world. If we wanted to be as fast as him, we can't just copy him. We would need to be given his legs and his abilities. The same is true of Jesus. If we want to live a life like his that makes a positive difference, we can't just copy him. We need to be given his spirit. And that is exactly what happened on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, the Spirit takes our instinct to make the wrong kind of difference, our sinful nature, and nails it onto the cross with Jesus. And when Jesus dies, that instinct dies too. Galatians says, we have been crucified with Christ and we no longer live. Our instinct to make the wrong kind of difference is dead. And then 3 days later, when Jesus rises from the dead, the Spirit brings him to life. The new us comes to life as well. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith through the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. We have been crucified by Christ, but we have also been raised with Christ. And if you are a Christian, you have been given the Spirit of God who crucifies the old sinful self, the old instinct to make the wrong kind of difference, and brings to life a new instinct in you, the ability to make the right kind of difference. Colossians 3 says, we have a new self who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And Romans 8:29 says this, those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is good news. That means that when you look at your life and you realize there are places that you don't bring God's kingdom from heaven to earth, there's places where actually you add to the chaos rather than bringing order and beauty, or you cause hurt rather than bringing life, you cause hate rather than love. When you look at your life and you see those things, you know that that is not the finished you. Because God, if he has given you his Spirit, he is conforming you. He is changing you. You don't need to think, God's done with me. I'm done. Am I really going to be a different person from how I was before? Yes, you are. Because God has given you his Spirit. He is transforming you. He has predestined you before time began to be transformed into a new kind of person. You will be a different person tomorrow than you are today. Because God is at work in your life. And God is a powerful king. And when he speaks, something happens. And if he is working in your life, he can't be stopped. So, what does that mean for the coming week? Because we are made in God's image. And by the way, this is true of you, no matter how young you are or how old you are. You are made in God's image, whether you're still working or you're retired. You don't retire from being in God's image. This is true of you, no matter how outgoing and loud you are or how private you are. You are made in God's image, which means you have God-given worth and dignity, a God-given ability and a God-given calling to make a difference to the world by making a difference to the world of those around you. So what will that look like this week? You know when Jesus told the story of the wise and foolish builders? He said that there's a foolish builder who builds his house on the sand. When the storm comes, comes crashing down. And the wise builder builds his house on the rock. When the storm comes, it stands. But what is the difference between the wise and the foolish? Well, he says the wise man hears his words and puts them into practice. The foolish man hears his words and doesn't. The difference is not about hearing. They both hear Jesus' words. The difference is what they do with those. So we need to make sure that when we hear the word of God, we put that into practice in our lives. Not by ourselves, empowered by the spirit that God has given us, empowered by the new self that God is working in us, but we need to put it into practice in our lives. So this week, how are you going to bring order and beauty into this chaotic world? And it could be something very simple. It could be the words that you say to a loved one. It could be a small phone call. It could be you're going to arrange words into a beautiful sentence to really touch someone's life who you know is going through a different time. It could be filling someone's life with love, just noticing the things that they need, going out of your way for them, sacrificially giving up your time and your energy to love them. You make a difference to the world, you do. You make a difference to the world because you make a difference to the world of the people that you brush up with day in and day out. That is a beautiful design that God has put in your life because he has made you in his image. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In a moment, we're going to sing. But just before we do that, let's take a couple of moments to reflect and pray to God. And maybe there's areas of your life that you recognize are chaotic or empty. And you need to recognize that Jesus can bring fullness and love and order and beauty into those. And then think through where you're going to be this week, the people that you have the opportunity to talk to, the situations that you're going to be in, and ask that empowered by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, you will make the difference that he designed you to make, that you would bring order and beauty and life and love into those situations.